Das Chazar sagt, nicht mehr Chesu Shag, wenn wir wieder mit Sechus Bob Metzir, darf Lamed Aleph. Mischa said, Matzah Chamaru, Parah V'chulu. On the one hand, the Mischa says that if a cow or donkey is seen grazing by the road, it's assumed not to be lost, which would suggest that if it was running by the road or grazing in the vineyard, it would assume to be lost. However, the Mischa then says that if a donkey was seen with his kelim overturned or a cow was seen running through the vineyard, it's presumed to be lost. This suggests that if it was running along the road or grazing in the vineyard, it would not assume to be lost. So having Gemara Abaye said, we can learn one case from the other. The Mishnah teaches the grazing at the road is not assumed as lost, and the same would be true for the grazing in the vineyard. The Mishnah teaches that running in the vineyard is assumed to be lost, and the same would be true for running along the road. For acting Mara, Rava asked, if this is the way to understand the case, why didn't the Mishnah teach the less extreme cases? The Mishnah should have taught that running by the road is assumed lost, and we would know that running in the vineyard is surely assumed lost. The Mishnah should have taught that grazing in the vineyard is not assumed lost, and we would know that grazing along the road is surely not assumed lost. Therefore, Rava said, the case of inference regarding running is not contradictory, because it depends in which direction the animal is running. If it's running towards the wilderness, it's considered lost. If it's running towards the city, it's not. The case of grazing also not contradictory. When the Mishnah says that grazing in the vineyard is not assumed to be lost, it's referring to the cow itself. When it says it's lost, it's referring to the land that's being eaten. In fact, if the animal is grazing in the vineyard, although it may not be lost, it should have to be removed to save the field from damage. Even more, the cases where a guy owns the field and the person doesn't have to prevent damage to the field of a guy. The Mishnah said, chziru varcha v'chulu. One of the Rabbanan asked Rava, maybe we should say that Hoshev teaches that the item should be returned once, Teshivim teaches to return a second time. That would be the limit of the obligation. Rava said, no, Hoshev teaches it should be returned even 100 times. Teshivim is needed for something else. It teaches that it doesn't have to be returned to the house. Rather, it could even be returned to his protected field or to a ruin. The reason is that the return of a lost item does not need the knowledge of the owner, as Rabbi Lazar says. Regarding the mitzvah of Shulach HaKan, we're taught that the mother must be sent away even many times. One of the Rabbanan asked Rava, maybe Shaleach teaches it should be done once. Means it has to be done a second time, but that's the limit. Rav said, Shaleach teaches it has to be done even 100 times. The Shaleach teaches that it must be sent away even if it's needed for a mitzvah, meaning like the mother should be can be brought for a carbon, still it has to be sent away. Next, regarding the mitzvah of giving musr, it was taught that it has to be done multiple times. One of the Rabbanan asked Rav, maybe Haycheach means it has to be done once, Taycheach means a second time, but that's it. Rav said, Haycheach means it has to be done even 100 times. Taycheach teaches that even a Talmud must give musr to his Rebbe if the Rebbe is acting improperly. Next, regarding the mitzvah to help unload packages from an animal that collapsed under the weight, the pasuk says, Azoiv Tazoiv Imoy. The word Imoy suggests that it only has to be done if the owner is there as well. How do we know that it must be done if he's not there? The word Azoiv Tazoiv teaches that it has to be done in all instances. Regarding the mitzvah to help load packages onto an animal, the pasuk says Hakim Takim Imoy. The word Imoy suggests it only has to be done if the owner is there as well. How do we know it has to be done even if the owner is not there? The words Hakim Takim teach it has to be done in all instances. Why did the Torah have to teach separately regarding the mitzvah of unloading and the mitzvah of loading? Why couldn't we learn one from the other? The mitzvah says both are needed. If we would only have the mitzvah of unloading an animal, we'd say over there there's an obligation because it's by the chayim and there's potential loss to the owner. If we only had the mitzvah of loading, we would say that the obligation exists over there because, as some say, the person gets paid for his help. But unloading, which has to be done for free, maybe there's no obligation. According to Rav Shimon, who says that loading also has to be done for free, why did both have to be written? And according to Rav Shimon, it's not clear which pasuk refers to loading, which refers to unloading. Therefore, we need both, so we know both of these obligations are included. Why is it necessary for the Torah to write these two mitzvahs and then to also write the mitzvah of returning a lost item? Why couldn't they be learned from it or it from them? And if we would only have those two, we would say in those two cases, an obligation to help because there's the anguish of the owner and the tzar balei chayim of the animal. But when an item is lost, maybe there's only anguish of the owner. Maybe there's no obligation. If we only have the mitzvah of returning a lost item, we would say in that case it's an obligation because the owner is not with the item and has no way of getting it. However, with regard to loading and unloading, the owner is there. You can hire workers to help him. Therefore, we think there's no obligation. The pasuk regarding a murderer says mois yumas hamake. We would think that he may only be put to death with the method that's supposed to be used for him, death by the sword. Herek, how do we know that if he can't be put to death in that way, we should put him to death in any other way that we can? The double verbiage of mois yumas teaches it should be done in any way. Talking about the pasuk regarding an ir nidachas says hake saka. We would think that the people of the city may only be put to death with the method that's supposed to be used for them, again by the sword. How do we know that if they can't be put to death in that way, they should be put to death by other means? The double verbiage of hake saka teaches it should be done in any way possible. Next, the pasuk regarding returning collateral to a borrower says hashev toshev. We would think it only has to be returned when the borrower needs it, but only when the collateral is taken with permission of Bezin. However, how do we know it has to be returned even if it was taken without permission of Bezin? The double verbiage hashev toshev teaches it has to be returned in either case. The pasuk regarding, again, returning a collateral to a borrower also says chovel tachbol. We would think that it has to be returned to the borrower when he needs it, only when the collateral was taken with the permission of Bezin. How do we know it has to be returned even if it was taken without permission of Bezin? Double verbiage Verbius teaches that to be done in either case. Why are both these psukim regarding collateral needed? And from where one is to address a garment worn during the day, and one is to address a garment worn at night. The Gemara continues. The pasuk regarding tzedakah says, "Pesayach tiftach." We would think that one must only give tzedakah to poor people of his own city. It's a double verbiage. Pesayach tiftach teaches that to be given even to poor people of other cities. Vayta, the pasuk regarding tzedakah says, "Nasa in titen." We would think that one has to give only if a large amount if he's able to, but no obligation to give smaller amounts. A double verbiage. Nasa in titen teaches even smaller amounts are an obligation as well. Vayta, the pasuk regarding giving gifts to a Jewish slave upon his freedom, upon his emancipation says, Hanik Tanik. We would think this obligation applies only if the house was blessed on account of the slave. The double verbiage teaches that the obligation exists even if the house wasn't blessed on his account. And according to Rabbi Lazar, who says the obligation taka only exists if the house was blessed on his behalf, the double verbiage was written just because Lashon Bnei Adam. It was taught that the owner must pay him the rate of an idle worker. If he's actually doing something to return the item, so why is he only paid like an idle worker? He's doing something over here. And Rabbi said this means that he's paid the amount that someone who was making his wages would be willing to take to stop working this harder job and instead work this easier job. Isser and Rav Safra were in a partnership. When it ended, Rav Safra went in front of two people and divided the partnership assets without Isser there. When Isser complained about the division, Rabbi Rav Huna told Rav Safra, you have to bring three people that you divided the assets in front of, or two of the three, or at least two witnesses. So all you do is in front of three people. Rav Safra said, how do you know how to be in front of three people? Rabbi Rav Huna answered, we see this from our mission, which said that the finder stipulation must be made in front of three people. Rav Safra said, that case is very different. In that case, that one person is looking to extract money from another. In the case at hand, I'm only looking to take what's already mine, and as such, only two people should be needed. In fact, we find that a widow may sell property of her husband's estate not in the presence of Bezin. Abaye said, we have learned that Rav Yosef Bar Yehuda and Rav Nachman said, she doesn't need a Bezin of experts, but she does need a Bezin of ordinary people.